Jesus at the center changes everything. It doesn't mean trying your hardest to somehow imitate him. It's about Christ being formed in you and transforming you from the inside out. Jesus at the center means his character and his priorities become your character and your priorities. In sharing from Philippians 2, 5 to 8, we hope to help you in this radical transformation. The scriptures say, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. He has no equal and no rival. He is the one and only. He humbled himself to enter human space and skin. He sought your splendor and glory. He obeyed your will as a servant and died to bring forgiveness for the sins of the world. He conquered death and is exalted to the highest place. He is Lord of all, and he is Lord of me. Ken and I are so glad that you joined us for this online worship experience. We would love to hear from you. We have been so blessed to have some parking lot visits with church family. Our prayer is that you will know Jesus and that you will keep him centered in your life.
From your burden of sin, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood. Passion and pride, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide, there's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Good night, sweetheart.
Night, Mom.
Sleep tight, kiddo.
Thank you.
entire concept around the movies Monsters, Inc. is that the job of each one of the monsters is to scare the children. And the more you can scare the children, the better they are at their job. I'm sure that many of us, as children ourselves, have probably faced fear at some point, whether it was a monster that was hiding under the bed or in the closet, or we're afraid of the dark in the middle of the night. As we lie quietly with our eyes closed, it's then that all of these things creep up upon us. Well, from our scripture this morning, we can see that the psalmist, who in this case is believed to be David, had much of those same feelings, that the monsters or his enemies and foes were out to get him. Look with me at Psalm 27 this morning, and let's look at some of the opposition that the psalmist faced. Verse 2, he says, "The wicked advance against him to devour him." Verse 3, "An army is out to besiege him." And verse 3, again, "War breaks out against him." In verse 12, he also points out that there are false witnesses rising up against him, spouting malicious accusations. It would appear that from all sides, he's being attacked. I can visualize him standing in the middle of the desert all alone. He stands there looking around from side to side, and he sees all of these things coming against him, ready to take him down. They are out to get him. They are spreading lies in order to tarnish his name, his reputation. They are attacking in order to bring harm to him, and they are even ready to devour and end his life. Although we may not know exactly the situation that the psalmist is referring to, we can take some hints from his life that help us understand this scenario that he is presenting. In Psalm 16, when David was anointed by Samuel, we see that David was out in the field tending the sheep. Well, as a shepherd, David knew what it was like to have to ward off wild animals in order to protect his sheep. So he brings this imagery into this psalm as well. We also know that Saul was not fond of David, and in Samuel 19 actually attempts to kill him and to try and pin him to the wall with a spear while David was playing his harp. And after a failed attempt, Saul continues to hunt for David. David also knew what it was like to be at war and have an army of men coming against him. And maybe now in this psalm, he's bringing all of those situations and circumstances together to show how often he has faced opposition. Have you ever felt some of those same experiences as David that he's describing here? That your enemies or foes are out to get you, that everything seems to be coming at you all at once? And maybe it's not actually people that we feel are coming against us. Maybe it could be situations. Maybe you, like David, feel like you're just standing out in the middle of the desert. Everywhere you look, there's something coming at you. Loss of jobs, bills that need to be paid, medical situations, family issues, and the list could go on and on. All at once, they are nearing closer and closer and closer, ready to attack. Maybe you just turn on the news every day and you see story after story after story of devastation, of people dying from COVID, of lockdowns, and it seems like all around us, it's hard to find the good in the middle of everything we hear and read about. Injustices are taking place all around us. Everywhere we look, there's something coming at us. Devastation, despair surrounding us all the time. A reporter was once interviewing a gentleman on his 100th birthday, and he asked, "What are you most proud of now that you've reached this milestone of being 100 years old?" Well, the man said, "I don't have one single enemy in the world." "What a beautiful thought," said the reporter. "How inspirational for the rest of us." "Yes," replied the man, "I've outlived every last one of them." Well, David may not have outlived all of his enemies to the point that he had none left. However, God provided David this place of refuge and safety to overcome his enemies. David knows that people are out to attack him. However, in the midst of this, he's very aware of this refuge and safety in God. He's able to find confidence within that. And the remainder of this psalm speaks to that great confidence he has. David uses a number of phrases that helps to show how he sees God as his refuge and safety. He first says, "The Lord is my light and salvation." God is able to show David a way out. I was in Sierra Leone in 2014, and I stayed in this very small local village for 2 nights. There was no electricity in this village. And I remember I had never experienced darkness in a sense that I had the first night that I was in that village. As the sun began to set, you could see how everything around you was just getting darker and darker and darker. There were no street lights. There were no lights in the houses to turn on. But I had with me this little headlamp that I could strap around my head and had a light so that everywhere I went, I had this little light shining. And it was amazing how much light that little headlamp was able to bring. But when I went back and was getting ready to settle down for the evening, and I had to turn that light off at the end of the night, you could open your eyes, but all around me, all I could see was utter darkness, utter black, nothing else but black. Well, that small light that I had on my head for those 2 days was, I think, my most treasured possession during my time in that village, because that provided the opportunity for me to see. It provided opportunity for safety as I went around in the evening outside. Well, David recognized God as his light. When the way seemed dark, when everything around him seemed black, when he didn't know which way to go, God was the one that was going to guide him. When David had doubts and fears, God was going to be the one to light the way. It is in his light that David now finds that confidence. Well, one of the other phrases that David uses in this psalm is he says, "The Lord is my stronghold." So first, the Lord is my light and my salvation. God leads the way. He provides that light to guide me which way to go. But then the Lord is also my stronghold. When David felt weak, it was God who gave him strength. According to Webster's dictionary, stronghold means fortified place. I imagine a rock climber who is scaling on the side of a cliff. It is steep, it is dangerous, and they have all of this gear that keeps them safe. They have ropes, they have helmets, they have a harness, they have belts. However, one of the most important pieces of equipment that they will need is that anchor that's going to hold them as they climb the wedge of those rocks. That's the stronghold. Without that stronghold, David knew that the journey would be much more difficult. But he found that confidence in knowing that God would give him the strength. It was God who was David's stronghold, because on his own he knew he was weak, but in the Lord he is strong. In God, David was able to hold on. He had something strong and fast keeping him afloat. Well, Philippians 4 verse 19 says, "And my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." God is our stronghold. Well, the third phrase that David uses, he says, "The Lord will keep me safe in his dwelling and will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent." Do you remember earlier when I asked you to imagine David standing in the middle of the desert, looking all around him, and just things are coming at him from every side? Well, in the middle of the desert, you often have no protection whatsoever, nothing to guard you, nowhere to hide. But in the Lord, David will find that shelter. In him, he will find safety. The Lord will surround him with a hedge of protection and keep him from all harm. Well, just as God provided David a place of refuge and shelter from his enemies, God provides the exact same thing for us today. You've heard the expression, I'm sure, many times, that you feel like you're running around like a chicken with its head cut off, which means you're just running in all directions, not knowing where to go or what to do next. No sense of direction. Is that how we feel when our enemies are attacking? That we don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. Fear begins to set in. We panic. We become unsettled. We see the attack coming and we just don't know how to escape. Just as David was able to find confidence in God as his shelter and refuge, we are able to find the same for us today. For we serve and worship the same God that David served. If we rely upon our own abilities and the abilities of others, it will often fail us. God is the only true, reliable source. A number of years ago, I was spending a nice summer day with my daughter out on Center Island. The sun was shining, we were having a fabulous day, rides, water play, picnic, just a fabulous day that we had together. But it was getting late in the day, so we decided to start packing everything up, all of our belongings, and I remember as we were getting ready to walk back across the island to get the boat, I looked up at the sky and I saw how all of a sudden it was becoming very dark, and I had a funny feeling I knew what was going to happen very soon. Within minutes, that sky just opened up and poured down rain on top of us. If you've ever been to Center Island, you know that for most part, you're just out in the open with no protection whatsoever. And so we were there, we had the wagon, we were pulling all of our things in the wagon, and we were just in the middle of the island with no protection whatsoever from the rain. And the rain was just pouring down upon us. Our hair was wet, our clothes was wet, our shoes were wet. I remember giving my daughter a towel we had, and even the towel eventually was just soaking wet. With each passing moment, we were just becoming wetter and wetter. But in the distance as we were walking, I could see all of a sudden a crowd of people all going in the one direction. And I thought, oh, they must know something that I don't know. So I decided to turn and head towards where all the group was kind of gathering. And as I got closer and closer, I saw that there was a gazebo with all of these picnic tables under it. And everybody was starting to cram in under this gazebo, finding shelter from the rain. Well, I pulled the wagon as fast as we could get there and joined the many other people that had gathered under this gazebo. And the relief just swept over us to be out of the rain just for a few moments. We were wet, but yet now we had just a little bit of relief from the elements. Well, imagine God like that gazebo. The storms and the trials and the enemies of life are pouring down and we're trying our best to escape, but not able to find any relief. But God invites us to come to Him and allow Him to be our shelter. He invites us to allow Him to hold us in the shadow of His arm. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you." Well, this morning, I invite you to allow God to be the stronghold of your life. I invite God to be your shelter in the midst of the storm. I invite you to find the same confidence that David was able to boldly say, "My heart will not fear." As we end this morning and prepare for some time of reflection, I want us to allow David's words to guide our time together. He ended this psalm with some very wise words of wisdom. "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." And this is what I invite you to do with me this morning. As we seek refuge and protection in the living Lord, we open our hearts and our minds to Him, waiting and allowing Him to provide whatever it is we need this day, today, and the days to come as different storms may come our way. I invite you to listen to the song, "Waiting Here for You," and I invite you to be still, to wait upon the Lord this morning, to hear what He has to say to you, and to find refuge in Him.
come with expectation, waiting here for you.
Singing.